Washington, D.C. It's now 11 o'clock. Definitely time to get up and at 'em. Get after your day here on a Saturday, May 9th. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and we are entering into the final hour, the power hour, here on Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Phone lines are still open, 1-800-636-1067, but we're going to change topics from the NFL to the NBA. Call me NBA Wad. I am locked in to all of the postseason basketball. I got all the apps you need them. Have to watch on Amazon Prime now. So frustrating. How are the NBA playoffs not only on cable? Who came up with that dumb rule? I got to log out of the app, log back in just to switch back and forth between games. My remote management's not as good as it used to be. But I wanted to start with this, all right? NBA Wad talking all things NBA playoffs, the fast break with AWOD. And I just had my buddy who's listening in Richmond. You can chime in, 1-800-636-1067. And he messaged me, AWOD, Victor Wembanyama has me interested in the NBA playoffs after years of not watching. I've never seen anything like him. And I totally agree. I had another friend during the week say to me, for the first time since LeBron James, when I watch him play, I see the potential to be the greatest of all time in Victor Wembanyama. It is unbelievable what he's able to do on a basketball court. He is a freak of nature. He is an alien. It doesn't look like he is from this planet. Unbelievable what he did last night. He had 39 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 blocks, and San Antonio goes into Minnesota and steals game 3 and regains home field advantage, home court advantage in this series, which is just so critical. And Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, was just so damn efficient. It was unbelievable. 13 of 18 from the field. Most of the layups, or most of the shots he had from the field that were not threes, were layups and dunks. A few of them, he was facing the wrong way. He was running down the court, would like turn around facing the wrong basket and flip it over his head. He was tipping it in. He had a few times where he tipped a rebound to himself and then tipped it back in. He is an alien. He's got, his arm length is like a circus. It is unbelievable to watch. He also hit 3 of 5 from three, including a very clutch three-pointer. Got to the free throw line, nailed almost all of them, 10 of 12. 15 rebounds, 5 block shots, plus 16 on the court, more than almost anybody in the game here. And it was just unreal what he did. It was a clutch performance like I have not seen from Victor Wembanyama, like we haven't seen from a center in a while. Just being able to do it complete on both sides of the court. I know Jokic is insane on offense. He doesn't make the impact on the defensive side of the ball like Wemby has. This guy is unreal. And I'm rooting for the Timberwolves in this series. Like I talk about it with my friends. I don't like SGA. I'm an Anthony Edwards guy. I'm AE, rooting for AE. I want the face of the NBA to be Anthony Edwards. It looked like it was going to be Jason Tatum. That injury screwed him up and the Celtics lost early. I don't want the face of this league to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I want it to be an American. I have pride in Americans being the best basketball players. So I'm rooting hard for Anthony Edwards. And it sucked to see him kind of disappear at times in the fourth quarter when his team needed him most. But it was an unbelievable clutch performance from Victor Wembanyama, and they needed that. They needed that game because I think this series goes 7. And now it might be going the Spurs' way in Game 7. The Knicks took a commanding 3-0 series lead, some clutch buckets from Jalen Brunson, a 108-94 victory. Today, 2 games in the NBA as the playoffs roll on. The Pistons in Cleveland. And this is one of my favorite storylines of the postseason. I am picking Cleveland to win this series. They have got to get going and win today. I talked about it earlier. I just think they are such a complete team. I like the fact that they were solid last year, got punched in the face. Like I thought the Pistons were getting punched in the face round one. And then this is their bounce back year. They made that big trade, Garland for Harden, and at times it's worked out. But in this series, it just hasn't. Harden has not been good enough, and he's lost a step. and he needed every single step because he was never the fastest guy, but he used his IQ, his ball handling, you know, this, you know, the ability to kind of use the contact to then push in and then step off of people, backstep, step back and create space. He does such a good job creating space, but now that he's lost a step, he's creating less space, and the turnovers are killing his team. He had 4 turnovers in game 2, didn't make a 3-point shot, and so that's what it's going to come down to. The backcourt for the Cleveland Cavaliers, can Donovan Mitchell and James Harden shoot better than 14 for 37? Can they shoot 45 to 50% from the field? If they do that, they're going to win this game and turn this series around. They really are, in my mind. I love Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And then they've got the rotating pieces of Max Strus, Dean Wade, as guys that can, Sam Merrill, that can come in and really stretch the floor from the outside. They got a good bench player in Dennis Schroeder, who I feel like has been made fun of in the league for dropping the bag, but he's been a solid backup point guard. So I think Cleveland could totally represent the Eastern Conference. I'm still sticking with my pick of the Knicks, but Cleveland's going to have to turn it around. This is their season, it feels like, today, down 2-0. Cannot go down 3-0 in this series. And then you look to the late game, and I hate I'll tell you right now, 23-year-old AWOD would turn this radio show off hearing 33-year-old AWOD say he's rooting for LeBron. But the tables have turned, and I am rooting for LeBron James. I'm rooting for legacy. I'm rooting for greatness. I hated him so much throughout his career. At this point, it's respect. Respect that he's still playing. Respect that he's playing with his son. Respect that he's still the best player on his team at 41 years old. And I do think, as much as I'm a LeBron hater, this is the best basketball LeBron James has played since the bubble. This is his best opportunity to win another championship since the bubble. The problem is that his right-hand man is hurt in Luka Doncic and is not going to return. So LeBron James is going to have to put the cape on, going to have to put the crown on and be the king and lead his team to a victory here in Game 3. I know that, you know, Austin Reeves had a good performance in Game 2. He's going to need to get 20-plus here in Game 3. They're going to need DeAndre Ayton to step up. Somebody needs to put some tough juice into DeAndre Ayton. Where's Caron Butler when you need him? Just stab him with some tough juice. Shoot him up. That dude is playing like he's 6'8 when he's 7'1. It's so frustrating. And I know you're kind of skinny. Chet Holmgren's way skinnier, dude. Push him around. It's so frustrating watching DeAndre Ayton. I hate that I'm turning into a Lakers fan, but I don't like watching the Thunder play basketball. It pisses me off the way they run their offense, the way they flop and go into just basically they're foul baiting, it feels like, on every single time down the court. I respect the way they built their team, and I want Washington to do it the same, but I'm not rooting for the Thunder to go through the West. I want to see, like, in my heart of hearts, I want to see Lakers-Minnesota and Anthony Edwards lead the Storm and get all the way to the finals and win it all. Just feels like Thunder Spurs is inevitable. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning commute here on DC Sports Radio 1067, the Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I wanted to give a quick shout-out before I forget. Metal Chris, I am going to be driving up to Baltimore today to celebrate my great-uncle's 100th birthday party.
Wow.
100. My great uncle Albert, biggest diehard Baltimore Colts fan you'll find. He's still sharp. He could tell you the Orioles lineup today. It's unbelievable. Love him so much. I'm so excited to celebrate his 100th birthday. Have you ever gotten to celebrate a 100th birthday with anybody?
No, I don't think my family has that kind of genes.
Yeah, I know. We got juice. Awesome. We got some juice, baby. I'm looking forward to it. But I wanted to give him a huge shout out. Very much looking forward to getting together with him and all of our family members to celebrate the big 100. I'm hoping on Sunday I'll be able to have a good Mother's Day brunch with my mom. And then I told her, leave me alone to watch the NBA draft lottery. We can go out to have a great brunch. I'm going to get her a gift, a card, flowers. And then I'm locked into the NBA draft lottery to see what happens with the Washington Wizards. I wanted to give my take on the top prospects here. My number one is A.J. DeBonsta. It's been A.J. DeBonsta for probably 16 to 18 months. I just think this guy is the full product. Everything about his game I love. 6'9", and I think he might grow another inch or two because he's still very young. Everything on that he can do on the offensive end blows me away. And I hate to say this, but it's like I see like a young LeBron. And maybe I'm overstepping a little bit. I think A.J. DeBonsta gets to the rim whenever he wants, however he wants, because he has great ball handling, unbelievable athleticism. His footwork's very underrated. And he led the nation in points per game while also breaking Danny Ainge's record for BYU freshman scoring in a game with 43 points in one game. He literally does it all. And I think what I love most about him is he cooks in the mid-range. A.J. DeBonsta can go to the basket and dunk on you, and if you stop him, he'll just do a turnaround 10-footer on you, and it's money. There are things he needs to improve on defensively and more consistent from the three-point line. I keep saying this. He's a kid from Massachusetts. You don't go to Utah Prep and BYU from Massachusetts unless you got the biggest bag of money, right? And I don't think unless you're really paying attention, you understand how much money BYU has. Look what they spent on football, right? Penn State thought they were going to hire their coach. BYU's got more money than Penn State, and that's in football. And look what they've done in basketball in the last few years. Yegor Demon just got drafted by the Nets. So DeBonsta's the number one prospect. He's been the number one prospect. If we get the number one pick, we have to take A.J. DeBonsta. Number two is a big question. Some would say it's Boozer. Some would say it's Peterson. I think some are starting to say now it's Caleb Olsen. I would probably say it's Darren Peterson because of what he did in high school. He had a 92-point game in high school. In college, the story has now come out. He took creatine. Should not have taken creatine. It affected his, I think it was like his some kind of levels in his blood. He dealt with tons of cramping issues. His father was too much in the picture at Kansas. I hated the fact he was taking himself out of games. I understand now we have more of a understanding of why he was doing that because of the creatine cramping issues. That's a major red flag for sure. But when you watch him play, the body control is the most incredible thing, and it's why I say DeBonsta, LeBron, and you can get mad at me for that. I'm so tired of hearing Darren Peterson compared to Kobe Bryant. But that's what every single person has been saying. Kobe Bryant, Darren Peterson. The way he kind of contorts his body in the air. He could get to the basket at ease. Good three-point shooter. The shot looks so smooth. And I think at times at Kansas he got lazy because it's a shorter three-point line than he's going to shoot in the NBA. And he was just chucking up threes when it was like, no, you can go to the basket every time you want, and that'll be better for your team. So I think most scouts would tell you Peterson's number one or number two. I'm going to put him at number two. I don't think it's the biggest need for Washington because I like what we've got in the backcourt. I want a four to go along with Alex Sarr, and we'll see what happens with Anthony Davis. So that's why DeBonsta's one for me. If you have Peterson one, that's fine. You know, you probably been obsessed with him since high school like I've been obsessed with A.J. DeBonsta. Number three for me is not Cam Boozer, it's Caleb Olsen, and it's because of what he can do at his size. At 6'10", with absolute springs for legs, he flies above the rim. To have your jersey hoisted into the rafters after a freshman year at North Carolina shows you how incredible he is. Definitely needs to grow as a shooter to last in the NBA, but I think with his ability to dunk on people, he's going to be able to make an impact right away. Yeah, so Caleb at North Carolina showed that basically he can dunk on anybody, and he needs to be a better shooter for sure. But I think his ball handling is underrated, and Caleb Olsen's the kind of guy in my mind that you put him around more talent and he's going to shine. North Carolina this year wasn't good. Like, I'm a VCU fan, and of course I'm going to keep talking about us beating them. We beat a bad North Carolina team. That's why they also fired their coach. Without Caleb, they were bad. Even with him, they weren't very good. So you put him around a bunch of really good point guards, I just think he's going to get a ton of layups and dunks. Boozer would be fourth, and Boozer's issue in my mind is the NCAA tournament was a bad look for him because it did not show off his complete game. It made him look like his entire game is bully ball, lowering his shoulder, getting to the basket. Teams left him open from the outside. They dared him to shoot from three. I think he is a solid shooter from the mid-range, needs to get better from the outside. The bloodlines are there with his father, Carlos Boozer, who is such a solid but not elite, I would say, NBA player, but very solid. And I think that's why Cameron Boozer has the highest floor. Like, he's not going to be the worst of these four. I don't believe that. But I don't think he's going to be the best of these four. He'll probably be, you know, second or third of these four guys here. But I think Boozer's also the kind of guy that will do whatever it takes to help his team win, right? At Duke, he didn't take many mid-range jumpers. It was, hey, you're going to shoot the ball in the paint, mostly layups, because that's what's going to help our team win, and you're going to operate from the inside, a little bit of pick and roll. But I think Cameron Boozer's better at, you know, kind of creating his own shot and going to the basket from the outside with his ball handling than we saw at college. And so, like, those are four guys that I just think are generational players. I understand how good Cooper Flagg was last year. I'm looking before that. These four are better than Alex Sarr and Zachary Richichet in my mind. They just are. So this is the kind of talent that you have in the top four. It's why it's so important that Washington gets a top four pick. At five, you know, I think it's Darius Acuff, a smaller guard, but also has a ton of potential. But I think there's a massive drop-off between four and five. And so that's why I've been telling my audience, obviously, I want number one, right? You want to win a championship, you get the number one overall pick, and it's A.J. DeBonsta, all right? But a win for the Wizards is a top four pick. And hopefully it's a top two, but a win for the Wizards is top four. We are guaranteed top five. The stupid rule has us at 47.9% chance to that it'll fall to five. Who made up that rule? Yeah, the wrong Adam Silver. I don't know how he still has a job. So dumb what he's done to the lottery. But 47.9% chance we fall to five. That also leads, you know, 52% chance that we get a top four pick, and that would be a win for Wizards Nation in my mind. And I'll continue to talk about this roster because I think it's underrated. And I even think, you know, Anthony Davis has realized that. From the outside looking in, he said, we're awful. And then he got here and realized it's a smart organization that is building the right way. More Wizards talk on the other side of this commercial break. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, live and local here on The Fan up until 12 noon. This is the power hour of AWOD Radio, and I told you how locked in I am on this NBA draft lottery on Sunday, hoping the Wizards can land the number one overall pick. And I wanted to explain more of my thoughts on this Wizards roster and why I believe they can go from 17 wins to 40 wins next season, more than double the amount of wins. Now, simply, everybody on the team needs to stay healthy and play games. I mean, if you pull up the depth chart right now, everybody's out. Trae Young out, Keyshawn George out, Bilal Coulibaly out, Anthony Davis out, Alex Sarr out. They were not trying to win games this past year. I think if they were trying to win games, they probably could have won 28. So that's why I think they can make the leap to 40. I love the moves that we made this offseason. And my one thing of advice would be for Anthony Davis to shut up, stop talking, stop doing interviews, because the Wizards have handcuffed you. You can say you want to be on a contender. You can say that winning a championship is the most important thing for you. Yeah, but you have to play well to get traded to a team that's going to contend for a championship. Nobody wants a washed-up, injured Anthony Davis, all right? You're 33 now. You're not 26 anymore. You want to prove that you're still one of the greats, one of the all-time 75 greatest players? You need to fix your legacy. He needs to fix it in Washington, D.C., or we could trade you. Or we could trade you, and we can get a ton of, I think, pieces for Anthony Davis. We moved on from Chris Middleton and C.J. McCollum and got Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and whether or not they play games in Washington or not, they are still great trade pieces. It's just why it was great business in my mind. And so I think Anthony Davis might play 10 or 15 games for Washington and then demand a trade. But if he's going to do that, he's going to need to play well with the Washington Wizards. He's not part of our future. Trae Young's not the biggest part of our future. They're just pieces on the roster that are making a lot of money and will hopefully make the young guys around them better. And I do think that you can look at Trae Young as a piece that will be a big contributor this year. Anthony Davis will find out, right? I hate that he's, you know, coming out in so many podcasts, and I guess he's saying nice things about the organization, but he's also kind of leaving the door open to demanding a trade. But Trae Young, everything he's saying is great. I think he loves being here. I think he loves the young talent that we have on this roster. I think it's inspiring him to get back to the form that he was at, you know, a few years ago when he had the Hawks in the conference championship. So Trae Young in the backcourt there, and then you'll have Trey Johnson with him, Bob Carrington coming off the bench. I wonder if Keyshawn George is the starting small forward or if that's Bilal Coulibaly. And then I want A.J. DeBonsta at power forward and Alex Saar at the center position. And this is a Wizards team that has a lot of young talent that is absolutely developing. Will Riley, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, three players that I think are very solid second pieces, right? If you have a starting lineup, like I'm saying, so Trae Young, right, with Trey Johnson, and then Bilal, and then DeBonsta and Anthony Davis or Saar. And then you could have a second unit with Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, and Will Riley. And Champagne can shoot the heck out of the three ball. Look at what his brother's doing with the Spurs. We can absolutely use that. Jameer Watkins is trying his hardest to stay on this roster. Same with Cam Whitmore. So there's a lot of young talent here in Washington. I don't think that the East is very good. I think the East is still pretty much wide open. Now, I don't think we're getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't even know if we're winning a playoff series next year, right? Because you're going to have to be tested in the postseason. But I'm pretty confident we are going to be a playoff team next year if we can stay healthy. And this addition of a top five pick that we'll find out what number it will be on Sunday. These are four generational players, and I think that is the final missing piece to the puzzle. Again, this team's not going to win a championship in my mind with Trae Young and Anthony Davis in the starting lineup, but you could envision that with Trey Johnson, with Alex Saar, and with A.J. DeBonsta or Darren Peterson or, you know, Wilson or Boozer. That's the next piece here, because you look at how many young guys that we have that are developing. It's like seven pieces right now, right? Seven plus Trae Young and Anthony Davis is nine, and then this rookie is 10, and then you have a full two five-man rotation. You have a full 10. And here's the thing. In that 10, there's really not a weakness. So many teams in the NBA, including the Wizards for so long, had just giant weaknesses in their lineups. I don't think that we have a giant weakness now, and I'm just – I think we've done it the right way. I think there's a chance that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins end up getting the credit. You're going to see General Manager of the Year next year because all of a sudden Washington gets 40 wins. They completed their goal. The goal for this season was to tank, and they fully tanked, and they embraced the tank, and it was an ethical tank because unlike Sacramento and Utah, you know, getting investigated, we just played our young guys. And if we end up with the number one overall pick, I think it's pretty clear how much chess to checkers Michael Winger and Will Dawkins were doing, right? This is a generational top of the draft class. And so what do you do when you need to guarantee that you lose? You trade for two injured players. That was so brilliant. If we end up with the number one overall pick, it's going to be because of the trades for Trae Young and Anthony Davis. Because as much as I don't like Chris Middleton and CJ McCollum, they were winning too many games for us. That was such a smart move to trade for two players, knowing that they probably won't play, but you don't want them to play this year. You don't want them to play this year. The NBA has never seen tanking at this level. And it's never been done at this level where so many teams are tanking. And we're the tankathon champions. Hang the banner. I think we do deserve credit for that. The tanking was so bad that they changed the rules moving forward. Good thing this is the last year we're in the tank. The last year, it's the end of it. I believe we're going to go from 17 to 40-plus wins next season. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So Nick Ashew is coming up next. Metal Chris runs the ones and twos, and he grabbed some audio at the beginning of the show that I wanted to run through, because this weekend is the start of rookie minicamp for the Washington Commanders. Our first chance to see Sonny Styles, with the headline on Commanders.com, a sunny day in Ashburn. You know, I want to give my buddy a shout out. He named his kid Sonny. He was just had a kid about like 4 months ago. Named it after Sonny Jurgensen. How lucky is that kid? He's now going to grow up watching Sonny Styles after being named after Sonny Jurgensen. But a sunny day in Washington for the Commanders' start of rookie minicamp. There's a lot to like about this rookie draft class. Let's take a listen to Dan Quinn on how he plans to utilize his new linebacker, Sonny Styles.
I'm sure the gears are going in your head with Sonny Styles. How do you envision utilizing him in this defense?
Yeah, I think the first part of it, man, like, let's get the fundamentals down. The two inside linebacker spots have similarities, but there's also some nuances. During the course of the spring and training camp, we'll work him and some other guys at both of the spots. There's a lot that he can do, and like all the players, we're going to try to do the best we can to put him in the spot to really allow them to do their thing, you know, at full speed and at a high level. And a lot of times that takes all the way in through camp as well. So there's no limits on what I think he can become, but I'm going to let the whole process, you know, really play all the way through, because there's a lot to go over.
I mean, you could just hear from Dan Quinn's voice there. I could just tell the way he's talking how excited he is about Sonny Styles. I'm excited about Dan Quinn coaching up the young guys on the defensive side of the ball. That's Dan Quinn's secret sauce. He is a good coach. He will get improvement, player development out of these guys on the defensive side of the ball. I'm confident in that. And I go back to like what we heard in the offseason and like draft night. What did Micah Parsons say in his little podcast? This is the exact kind of guy that Dan Quinn likes. I think Dan Quinn got his favorite player in this draft class in Sonny Styles. We've heard Sonny Styles talk about how excited he is to come here, and he talked about how he had the conversation with Dan Quinn and said he hopes that he's coming back to play for him. That's exactly what happened. I mean, there's so much to be excited for with this draft class here. And Sonny Styles, I think really there's so much potential for him. And anything that I've seen, like the only thing that's standing out to me in the quick videos we've seen from minicamp, the speed. Like, I think he's going to be one of the fastest linebackers. Like, Bobby Wagner, so good at swallowing up running backs through the middle. Like, he gets his hand on you, his paw on you, you're going down. But the biggest weakness was sideline to sideline. And you know, Sonny Styles will be able to do that right away, and hopefully he can learn from some of the other guys that we have in the locker room currently, this coaching staff, and really develop into a star in the National Football League. I am super excited for Sonny Styles. He was asked, do you have a message for the fan base? Let's take a listen.
Speaking with the community, so many Commanders fans are so high on you right now, they're ready to root for you. What is your message to this fan base that is so excited to see Sonny?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to give everything I got to this team. You know, when I was at Ohio State, I gave everything I had to Ohio State and the university. You know, I took pride in that. I'm going to take pride in being Commander and getting everything to this team and do whatever I can by any means necessary to help the team win.
That was the message from Sonny Styles, who will be wearing number 52. He told a little story about how he was trying to decide what number to come up with. He looked at the linebacker greats of the past for the Washington Commanders, looked at what his father had done, and had a discussion with his family. He said, well, you were pick number 7, 5 plus 2 equals 7. You're going to be number 52, and it sounds like it's a number that means a lot to him now, and I'm looking forward to seeing him in the middle of the field for the Washington Commanders. I'm going to continue to talk about how much excitement I have for Antonio Williams, one of the best wide receivers in the ACC. If his damn quarterback in Cade Klubnik had a better season, I think he would have gone a whole round earlier than when the Washington Commanders got him in the third round. Good news for us, because we didn't have a second round pick. A lot of competition in the wide receiver room right now. And it's going to be fun to watch throughout training camp. And there's just no way that you can say this wide receiver class that we have in that room is not better than it was last year. We didn't have Terry McLaurin to start training camp. Terry's going to be ready to roll. We add Deami Brown back. Add Van Jefferson to compete there, right? Who was the guy we had last year? Michael Gallup, right? Like, I will take Van Jefferson over Michael Gallup. I'll take Van Jefferson over Chris Moore. I'll take all these guys over the garbage that we had to throw to last year at training camp. Like, I actually really enjoyed a conversation and interview I had with KJ Osborne. I think Antonio Williams, Jalen Lane are all better than KJ Osborne. So training camp, we're going to have more competition at wide receiver, and there might be another addition, because I still believe that Brandon Ayuk will be coming to Washington. But more of our notes from rookie minicamp. A sunny day in Washington. I'm excited for Antonio Williams. Dan Quinn's talking about the size of the new running back that we got here in Catron Allen. That has me excited as well. Again, I think that was the third and one, fourth and one strong back was missing last year after we traded Brian Robinson Jr. It just was. You don't need that guy for every down, but Quinn talked about how he likes how he's running, how he's hitting running lanes, and he says that he has a lot of football knowledge. He's a big kid. He's a big, strong, physical running back, and I think it's a good fit with what we have. It's kind of like Bill is more of the shifty guy, and then Rashad White, I think he's going to be a guy that Commanders fans are going to fall in love with. If he can successfully do what Austin Ekeler did in 2024, fans are going to fall in love with him. And the fact that he's already, buddy-buddy with Jaden Daniels, another reason to really like him. So I think that Washington did some smart things this offseason. I know people are going to say, well, we didn't get that running back that we wanted. We didn't get that wide receiver that we wanted. Is the offensive line good enough? I believe the offensive line has the talent. It needed better coaching. I think the defense now has the talent. It needed better coaching. All right, so we'll see what kind of difference the coordinators make. That is going to be massive in terms of the number of wins and losses this season. Is David Blough an improvement from Cliff Kingsbury? How does he deal with some of these tough situations you get in the NFL if he's down 21 points? How does he change things to try to create an insane comeback? What does he do on third and 14s? With a guy like Jaden Daniels, you could pick up a third and 14, but you can't go for all of them, and that'll lead to some turnovers. You got to be smart and pick and choose, on some of those situations when you live to fight another down, when you decide to punt and play the long game. And this team as a whole needs to be much better at complementary football. I think some callers made some good points today when talking about that. The offense didn't have the defense's best thoughts in mind, because an offense that goes, hurry up like that is forcing a defense to go out there without much rest. So need much better complementary football. And if the defense, I really think that Adam Peters did his job. There's guys to work with here on defense. I think that's part of the excitement from Dan Quinn. It's not just Sonny Styles. He's probably super excited about Clavon Chaisson, Adafe Owe, Leo Chenal, Nick Cross. There's talent here for Dan Quinn and Durante Jones to mold into the defensive scheme that they want to run and to get off the damn field better than they did last year. Thanks to everybody that called in today. We had a ton of great calls today. 1-800-636-1067. If you missed any of the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Appreciate Metal Chris running the ones and twos. He puts together the podcast Overtime on 106.7 The Fan is where you can check out this full three-hour show in its entirety. Nick Ashew, Mr. Hollywood, is coming up next here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.